Truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Hey folks, welcome back to Hour 2 of the National Intel Report. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Rapillon. I've got Monica Schaefer with me tonight. We're going into Hour 2 here. We continue our very fruitful discussion we always have, as usual. If you want to hear previous archives of us, previous discussions, just go to the Republic Broadcasting Archives. You can go to the archives link type in William Monica, and we'll just, there'll be discussions from the past coming up. Monica is just talking about Alfred. Before anything, please go to Republic Broadcasting. .org and smash the donate button and donate much needed fundage, folks. Whatever you can right now to help keep the system, keep the station going and keep the system at bay. So, all right. So, where were we? I forgot what I was saying.
That's okay. We had touched upon a few subjects that we did think we might segue into, and we could do that. For example, the article that you sent it on to me, to this bridge that collapsed, and it was a company of engineers. A woman who basically said she was an engineer, so she apparently had the qualifications, but she took pride in hiring some unqualified minorities. And then, you know, the bridge collapsed. Like, it was just kind of a very strange thing. And then I read the professor's comments on this, and I think that they're doing us a favor once again sometimes by the things they say, because maybe they do that on purpose, because they really do want us to win, like Alfred always says. They make their comments are so bizarre. Could I just read some of this? I'm going to just
pull
this up.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's.
Go ahead and read the whole thing if you want. It's not very long. So.
Well, I'll let you read that, but I'm just going to read some of these things that this is like a checklist. Okay, English professor Reshmi Dutt Ballerstadt put together a checklist for white supremacy. She tells students that if you believe in meritocracy, or awarding people according to their accomplishments or excellence, that is a sign of white supremacy. Do you want me to read the others, and we can comment at the end or on each one? This is just amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, the next one. This is another professor, a woman, Rochelle Gutierrez, professor at the University of Illinois. On many levels, mathematics itself operates as whiteness. Who gets credit for doing and developing mathematics? Who is capable in mathematics and who is seen as part of the mathematical community is generally viewed as white, she argued. Okay, so that's just some kind of a statement. You know, math is white. So whites are good at math, I guess, is what she's saying. But I've also heard other people say, well, math is racist. I guess that's why, because it's white. Anyway, the next professor, here's a professor, Lori Rubel, a math professor at Brooklyn College. She wrote an academic paper contending that meritocracy in math class holds back racial minorities and is a tool of quote unquote whiteness. Rubel reportedly recommended that math teachers use more social justice issues during lessons. Rubel, however, warned that teaching social justice can also be a tool of whiteness if teachers are ignorant to the experiences of their minority students. Oh my goodness. And here comes the last one that I'll read. Hang on a second, I gotta scroll. Okay, this woman, Laura Parson, and she's an assistant professor in Educational Foundations, Leadership and Technology. And she is blonde and blue-eyed looking, you know, she's a very European stock looking lady. She says, the syllabi for college-level STEM courses, I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, STEM courses, are gendered because they promote the idea that knowledge can be ascertained through reason. This is a masculine concept that hurts women's feelings and makes it difficult for them to succeed. And that's according to, quote, are STEM syllabi gendered? A feminist critical discourse analysis, end of quote, of the STEM syllabi at one Midwestern university. The discourse was authored by the University of North Dakota's Laura Parson and published in the Qualitative Report earlier this year. So, okay, so that's just the background of that. But she's basically saying that this these college-level STEM courses, and again, I'm not sure what that stands for, but they are gendered because they promote the idea that knowledge can be ascertained through reason. And this is a masculine concept that hurts women's feelings. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Makes it difficult for them to succeed. So what do you think of all that?
Well, I mean, it just shows that when the Jews introduced feminism, you know, 100 years ago, in order to destroy the family, to blend male-female roles, so supposedly enfranchise women, it's actually quite the opposite, putting women in the workplace as opposed to being at home taking care of the children as nature says, as nature and God says is imperative to continuing your people, your race, your country, your culture, your, you know, everything, your families, you know, family, the family unit is what holds it all together. We understand that feminism is really a Jewish subversion tool that hates women. Feminism hates women. And so you end up with women like this that are buying hook, line, and sinker, the hatred towards women, and they're they're expressing it in a very disgusting and offensive way that is so racist, I would say. Racist and hateful and stupid. I mean, it's just stupid on a level. So it kind of, you know, you've got Rochelle Gutierrez saying that mathematics is whiteness. And so that kind of makes the case for maybe starting up an engineering company called White Supremacy. And then if my bridge is built by the white supremacy company, I'm going to go walk across that bridge now, because she just explained that, obviously the fruits of what she's saying, that whiteness and mathematics is white in mathematics. So forget mathematics, because even though you need mathematics to build a bridge, Rochelle Gutierrez doesn't like that. So if you go and walk across a bridge built by Rochelle Gutierrez and her ilk, the good chance it's going to collapse and you're going to die. So I would say that what she's saying is genocidal. And then you got Lori Rubel. I think Rubel looks very Jewish. She's got short hair. And Rubel sounds like a very Jewish name, so it's probably just par for the course there. And then the one at the end, Laura Parson, the Shabbos Goy woman. That's very sad. That's especially very sad.
It is. To see that. It is. You know, when I was first learning about all this, like I was saying to you in the break, if it was maybe half a dozen years ago, I wouldn't have been as comfortable to talk about this topic yet because I just was in the process of waking up. Well, I suppose it's longer ago now. But anyway, now I'm very comfortable talking about these things. Here's in a nutshell how a dear friend, she became a dear friend. She said this to me. Then this was right after my video was made and I was in all kinds of hot water and she was like an angel that came into my life at that time. And she explained a lot of things to me. And you know what she said about feminism? And I think it's just perfect. It's the Trojan horse. It just looks so beautiful, right? It's a beautiful thing. They have appealed to us with this feminist so-called, equality for women and women's opportunity and all this. But it's a Trojan horse. Out comes the enemy from within this Trojan horse. And it's not so beautiful anymore. And it is an extremely destructive element to our whole entire society because it is a very destructive force on the family. And the family really is the core structure, the core organizational structure, I guess you could say, that makes a healthy people. And the feminist movement, and I love what you say, that feminism actually hates women. It's so true. Like, women did not benefit from this feminist movement, not one bit. You know, if you think that, you know, going out in the workforce and juggling that with, you know, the daycare scenario and you're busy and you're still having to do the things in the home and everything, if you think that's somehow women's liberation, are you kidding me? You've become a slave. You've become a slave in this, you know, a wage system. And then your life is more crazy and frenetically busy than ever. And you and your children are farmed out to other people to raise at minimum wage at that. People of now largely of other cultures even and younger farmed out. And all of a sudden you're old and you say, whoa, what happened? I don't even know my children. And you wonder, like, how it all fell apart. And this so-called dream, you know, it's not. It's a destructive force. So, yeah, that was very good what you said about feminism actually hating women. And, of course, it hates men, too. It just basically hates the family structure, which would be a mother and a father, male and female. And, boy, oh, boy, we could get going on that whole thing, too, because in this upside down world, even the genders, the sexes, I shouldn't even use that word gender, that's their word, the sexes have been inverted and made backwards, and now they go to the children and mutilate the children, and you know, here we are in our so-called modern Western countries, and parents are actually criminalized if they are trying to protect their children from possibly getting mutilated in the school system and without their knowledge even, or, you know, and if not physically mutilated, then chemically castrated or mutilated. And if not chemically castrated or mutilated, psychologically, absolutely poisoned. Okay. I've done enough of a rant here.
You're not exaggerating. There's no exaggeration in what you're saying. Countless examples of this, you know, this is what's happening right now. I want to quickly, before I comment, one thing I want to say is, and imagine, you know, you mentioned the farming, they have to farm their kids out for daycare, right? And that's extremely expensive too. And who knows what's happening to your kids during, you know, what kind of abuse they may be being subjected to. You don't know. I mean, you don't know for sure. If you can take care of your own kids, just, you know, they're protected. You know, they're not being abused, and you're not subjecting them to trauma. You know, and part of that trauma is your absence, you know, and then the lack of closeness between, you know, mother and child. And then the misappropriation of women's female is happening with the migrants, with the sympathy for the migrants. You know, there's a lot of women who, if they don't have kids, and that's not the only reason, but let's just say, for example, they're reapplying their motherly instincts to these migrants. And so there's all this sympathy for the migrants. And so there you go.
Oh, you're so right. You are so right. This natural inclination that we have to be nurturing and caring, you are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That is redirected to then nurture and take care of the so-called migrants, and which is basically a weaponization. It's a weapon against us, right? Weaponization of these so-called migrants, and that becomes our enemy. I mean, they are, you know, pushed in to replace us. That's an excellent comment. Excellent comment. And I do notice there's a caller, and just to remind you about that.
Oh yes, sorry. Yeah, we got Mike in Kentucky. Let's take Mike. Mike, welcome.
Oh, these topics are so blue. I feel like singing some Elvis Presley.
Blue moon,
keep on shining. Yeah. Anyway, he did the Bill Monroe tune, and Bill Monroe was so mad he recut it because he didn't want him to make the last dime on it. But we got, a full moon. They call it blue moon. It ain't blue, but you know, typically my internet connection is a minute and a half to 3 minutes behind, so I called in on something you were talking about last hour. But STEM, most of the time, stands for science, technology, engineering, and the M, of course, is math. But there's a couple of young, dark-complected girls in high school that rather earned themselves some fame about 6 weeks ago. They published a scientific paper for some aspect of the Pythagorean theorem that they proved. So what you're saying about this attack on math being racist is true, because you're lowering the expectations of the average student based on, you know, you're basically giving them a hang-up or a handicap by saying that they're typically not able to do this whitey boy stuff. I mean, that's what's, and you know, they call them exceptional children for a reason. They don't fit in the average 100 IQ pigeonhole. So you get exceptions across demographics in a lot of ways, and of course there are some hardcore white supremacists that say that any black folk must have some white in their background, mulatto, they used to call it, if they have any kind of intelligence like that. And it's because a lot of the people over there in Africa are culturally, multi-generationally not schooled in anything that would allow them to be in our society. There's a guy that I can't remember his name. He runs a site called Numbers USA, and he points out that we can't save the rest of the world by bringing them here. Most of the rest of the world does not have the skill set and the background to make it in America. A lot of us don't, for that matter.
Well, let me comment real quick.
Sure.
The goal for bringing people from the third world here has nothing to do with elevating them. It has everything to do with the Jew doing transatlantic slave trade 2.0 and enslaving the planet. The Jew sees all of these people as easy to enslave, easier to enslave. And so the white people there, you know, that is good at math and does all these things, is a bulwark, is like a, you know, is a protection for the rest of the world against the Jew. So once the Jew has eliminated all the white people using miscegenation, well, there's nothing going to, it's going to be nothing but slavery for the rest of everybody else. And so white people, you know, as well as being good at math, have been as well as de-enslaving people. So that's the reality.
There was a book published I was going to mention, but I'm up against the break. So if you hold me over,
okay, stick over, Mike. We'll be right back. Say we're born.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Missed hearing that. That's Steve Stevens playing the Top Gun anthem. Obviously, Top Gun was a propaganda movie that was used to go fight against fighting wars for Israel that came up in the following decades after that. But I digress. Still a great song and hits you in the feels anyway. So, Mike, let's let you continue with what your thoughts.
Well, yeah, the propaganda was fairly effective on a lot of poor white guys. You know, they end up in the military with a lot of poor minorities. And if it wasn't for the poor folks or, you know, families that have a military tradition, I think there'd be a lot less ease in recruiting for the military. They had a lot of poor guys, especially, that's their option, you know, whether they've knocked up a girl in high school or not. I was kind of deceived into taking that military test called ASVAB, and I scored high enough. The recruiter was like, wouldn't leave me alone for like 2 years almost. And I was supposed to have my choice of 650 jobs, but I ended up being rejected because during the Reagan years there, I think that's about when Top Gun came out, maybe 1984.
Yeah, 1986.
86. Well, anyway, yeah, there was a lot of enthusiasm for joining the military. But by the time I got done with the physical in Louisville, I was like, give me my bus ticket home, because they only wanted me for a cavalry scout, military police, or what was the other one? Infantry, of course. Everybody's secondary mode of service is infantry. But that, what you brought it around to the Jews, that's actually what I originally called for last hour. There's a book about Allied war propaganda. And the Ministry of Information sent out letters to all the British clergy over the atrocities that the Bolsheviks had committed. And that because, you know, the United Kingdom was kind of allied with Russia, they said something to the effect of the only way to save ourselves and the Bolsheviks is through atrocity propaganda. And they were talking about the believability of everything that the Germans had supposedly done. And it's
so it's inverting the truth and saying, blaming the Germans for what actually what the Bolsheviks did is exactly what happened.
In 1958, this book was published, and it has verbatim those letters that were sent off to the ministers, actual clergy, and asking them to express believability so that the public would go along with this propaganda in 1958. So you mentioned 1964. So my entire life I've had to listen to this. Of course, my uncle and my dad both were over in Germany, and that, you know, my uncle was like, anytime I questioned anything to do with it, well, I was out Auschwitz. I saw the Auschwitz camp. And I'm like, what did you actually see, though, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So, Monica, are you familiar with the documents that he's mentioning, the letters sent in 1958?
It was on RBN about 7 years ago.
Do you have
a broadcasting network has it. I mean, I found it in a Facebook memory where I shared it out 6 or 7 years ago and reposted it recently. So it's still on there. It's still on their webpage.
But so Allied atrocity propaganda. This is very important, Mike. Allied atrocity propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shoots a big hole
in this whole operation of, you know, war propaganda from World War II. And that phrase is pretty
right. Sefton Delmer comes to mind.
Excuse me?
Sefton Delmer and his infamous quote that he said to Professor Grimm after the war ended in 1945. And it starts out, atrocity propaganda is how we won the war, and we are only just beginning with it. And then there's a few more statements, and then it ends with something to this effect that it's like an English lawn, one moment of neglect, and those weeds of historical truth come back up. So, and he was basically admitting there that, you know, they won the war on all the lies, and they were just ramping it up then. They were just only beginning, is what he said.
Yeah.
I wanted to... Go ahead, sorry.
Anywhere you just never do a display on the Holocaust. I went back up. I didn't remember the first time 8 or 9 years ago. We went to Air Force Base in Ohio and saw the museum and the whole hallway Holocaust stuff, you know, between the World War II airplanes. And I could kick myself for not photographing that page and leaving a bunch of brown on their display. It'll hit you upside the head when you read it, you know, that they were actually asking the British preachers to lie.
Yeah.
Mike, we're up against Frank. Thank you for the call. We're going to move on.
Also, thank you for explaining what STEM stands for. I appreciate that. Thank you for pointing that out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Alright, folks, we're back. And going to continue on. So collected some bookmark points I wanted to make real quick. I want to forget those. One is going back to the article with the women. Let me pull that article back up with. Well, one of the things that, with all these statements that somebody like Rochelle Gutierrez makes on many levels of mathematics itself operates as whiteness, who gets credit for doing and developing mathematics, who's capable of mathematics, and who is seen as part of mathematical, is generally viewed as white. Okay. And then you have Laura Parson, who's one of our European women, saying the masculine concept hurts women's feelings and makes it difficult for them to succeed. I mean, these are asinine statements that are absolutely humiliating to women. And the Jew gets into the brains of these women and helps women make them just mockeries of women. I mean, just makes them look just awful. And so in order to protect our women from the Jews, the men really we have to step up and point out this disgusting perversion that gets into their brains and manipulates them into just humiliating themselves and making them just themselves look so stupid and unbelievable. Let me kick it to you, Monica, your thoughts on that.
Absolutely correct what you say. It is an insult what they are saying about, you know, oh, it's hurting women's feelings. I mean, that's an insult to women. This is kind of a fulfillment of that part in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion that says they will become agents of their own destruction. The Goyim, I guess they're talking about the non-Jews, you know, become agents of their own destruction. But it's all done through this cultural Marxist education system and all the deceptions, the lies, the that's Jewish power. And you know, we were talking in the break about how to reach new people, and boy, if I could solve that, how do we reach new people and not be just talking to the choir? I would suggest everybody that listens share these links to this show if you want, or other shows, with somebody that needs to hear it, not just the people who already know what we're talking about. I don't know, somehow we have to reach more people, and that is something that I grapple with all the time.
Absolutely. I want to second that, and I really want to just absolutely plead with you guys to please do that, to share this show with somebody new. And obviously, you're always looking for the right approach. I think we've done that here. We haven't used too many pejorative terms. We haven't overused the word Jew, like some people complain about. But real quick note on the folks that think that it's just evil people. It's not Jews. It's just evil people. Well, actually, folks, the religion of Judaism itself is evil. It is based in satanic evil. And so there's a book by Tex Mars called The Rabbi's Holy Serpent of the Jews, The Rabbi's Secret Plan for Satan to Crush Their Enemies and Vault the Jews to Global Dominion. The back reads, the most colossal devil religion ever. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, Jesus accused the Jews. He accurately said their religion was of man-made traditions and warned of the liars and blasphemers of the synagogue of Satan. Now, 2,000 years later, we discover that the Jewish religion is more wicked than ever. The rabbis today slanderously call Jesus a bastard and a sorcerer in their Talmud. Worse is their code of hell with its deranged Kabbalistic doctrines. The veil is finally torn off the pious veneer of Judaism. Know why Jesus said of the Jews, "You are of your father the devil." Read of the rabbis who continue to reject Jesus as Lord while literally professing Satan, the holy serpent of their Messiah. The holy serpent says their Kabbalah is their fountainhead, root, and essence of God's revelatory light. But yet, we had the Scofield Bible 100 years ago, 120 years ago, that the Jews perverted. And now we have so many Christians thinking the Jews are God's chosen people. That's absolutely not true. They're not God's chosen people. They are, as a race, and not all Jews, of course. So, I mean,
I'll just jump in there. They are God's chosen people, but their God is a different God. Their God is actually Satan or Lucifer. Yeah, that's their God. It's just that they missed that part when they were teaching us in school about Jews being God's chosen people. They skipped that explanation part.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, people always say, oh, there's good and bad in every group of people. Yes, okay, so this is how
I hear that all the time, too, Monica.
There's good and bad in every people, but guess what? Our holy books tell us to be good. Their holy book tells them to be bad. That's the difference. So we actually have a code of conduct, and, you know, you could call it natural law or God's law, or, you know, different people they may not believe in God, but they still have a good code of conduct. This is our code of conduct, tells us to be good, and we will try to do something about those within our society who step out and do bad things like murder or you know, just out unacceptable behavior. Whereas the Talmud, I think that in the former, you know, in the Soviet Union, it was punishable by death if you were in possession of the Talmud, if you were a non-Jew. And that's because they didn't want the non-Jews to know what they were doing. They knew that if the non-Jews know what the Jews are doing or what their books tell them to do, that then surely we would rise up and we would not put up with that any longer. And we might, you know, do some bad things to the Jews among us. So anyway, yeah, their books tell them to be bad. I mean, basically, there's something in the Talmud about it's okay to rape a three-year-old girl, and that's just fine, you know, and then kill her afterwards.
Exactly what it says.
She's guilty of seducing you or something, you know, like
yes.
Crazy things like that. And people might say, well, that's not true. Well, no, that's why they didn't want you to have the Talmud. Now with the internet, it's different. You can find these things. You can research these things. You don't have to take our word for it. Put it that way.
That is only one of the many pagan, disgusting horrors. I mean, this is a pagan religious, nothing to do with God at all. And then you look at what they're actually doing. So, I did want to, I don't know if we have time to get to it. I'm going to pull it. Let's take Patrick in Texas here. Patrick, and then I'll get this video prepared that I have of this. So kind of segue over to the vaccine thing. So they're going to be coming back with this in the fall here. They're going to be coming back again with another fake virus and forcing masks and vaccines on people again. So now we have a propaganda guy, that one clip. So we'll get to that after the call of Patrick. So Patrick, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, William. I just wanted to point out that, you know, it's okay to be racist. You know, like Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, you know, I come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you can't get much more, for your own people than that. And he had blonde hair and a blonde beard. But, you know, as far as being, being inferior or superior, the archaeologists discovered it. We were very slow, the human races in general. Clay pottery and, the Stone Age, and that was about the extent of it. Until 6,000 years ago in Sumer. Whenever they started learning how to build their own tools and learn how to farm. And that was a first. Like Noah had a vineyard, and he got drunk off of the wine. And that's where all the domestic grains, all the domestic animals came from. And of course, farming all came from that area. That was the cradle of civilization. And we know, through history that we are actually the descendants of those race of people, and we got God's chosen people. I'm sorry, I got my dogs are fighting in the background there. And I just want to point out that we got the right to be proud. Everybody else was just they used with their clay pottery, and they was an equal playing field. They had the opportunity to excel, to make the in creation, but they didn't do it. And that's all I got. I'll let you go with that. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah, Monica, did you have any comment? Anything you wanted to comment?
Yeah, I was thinking that he must have heard what we said during the break about these terms like racist and whatnot, because we were talking about that these terms, I mean, obviously these words have been taken from our language and weaponized against us. And those words that are the most weaponized against us, and I would say the word racist is one of the most weaponized words, then that tells us that's exactly where we have to go with, okay, let's think about this. Everything's inverted. Everything's upside down. And if they don't want this word racist, they want that to be the most negative thing that you could say about a person, well, then that's exactly what we have to think about, that, oh, yes, the races are different. They clearly are very different. When they have to resort to calling math a racist subject, and the only reason they have to say that is because some of the other races are just not able to do well at math on average anyway. I'm sure there are some individuals who do well at it, but on average, no, they don't do well. So now they call math racist, and then they start teaching their classes different, and then the bridges start falling down. That's as simple as it is.
You trace the logic, the bridges start falling down, people start dying, but yet we have to continue on with this nonsense, this completely ludicrous nonsense that you know, the Jew has manipulated the female mind into perpetrating. I think it's mostly the female mind, the females that are perpetrating this. What would you say?
Yeah, yes, you know what? You are right. And the reason for that is, okay, in our roles as nurturers, we do have a different brain than men, and women are more easily, how shall we say, just pulled into these arguments of, oh, you know, we have to be good to everybody, and we have to be nice to everybody, and we can't be prejudiced against anybody, and all those people, you know, we have to help them, pull them up, sort of thing. Like, I think that is true, that women are more susceptible to this kind of talk, that, and men have a different way of thinking of things, and so I think there is something to that, you see. So that's not a good thing. It's a good thing to be nurturing when we are in our role of being in the family and that we have children. And yes, we want to be good nurturers. But you see, again, having had this feminist movement pushed on us, so we're now all equal, and we go out in the workforce and we can, you know, be forming governments. I mean, there's a reason why Adolf Hitler, he was not in favor of having women being in government. And it's not because he was prejudiced against women. No, it was, first of all, he revered women and their role as mothers, and it was the most important. I mean, what can be more important than motherhood, really? There's no more important job in the world, and Hitler saw that and recognized that. And so he didn't want women either in the military or in government, and for very good reason. And anyway, so I'm kind of rambling on about that, but yeah, I agree with that.
No, it's so perfect example right there. And, you know, Hitler was the last, I mean, leader of any real, I mean, he was just incredible, you know, an incredible leader for Germany, brought them out of such abject, just, I mean, the Treaty of Versailles after World War I, that the Jews had foisted on Germany, you know, taking like a third of Germany, just about, and giving it to Jewish Bolshevik Poland, so all these Germans were just instantly being persecuted, murdered, raped, tortured, just like Bolshevism did to the Russians, you know, just continued into Germany there. And so, you know, this, and really, like, if you explore this kind of concept that we're not really, this natural concept of different male and female roles, really do see the power that is behind those qualities. There is so much power. A woman who is taking care of her family and doing the natural womanly things is so powerful. It really is. And women need to get that out of their heads, that you're somehow oppressed. I mean, that is the big lie. The oppression is that you end up at the going through life and don't start family. You don't have anybody to carry on, you know. And that's happened for me as well. You know, I bought that, I drank that Kool-Aid, and not. But they also make it economically almost impossible for us to start families now. I mean, it's. I'm not saying impossible, but they make it very difficult with the all how expensive everything is, how expensive they make healthcare and whatnot. But if I had it to do over, I would forge ahead anyway, and just, you know, make it work best I could.
Yeah, there are so many forces that have been unleashed on us that are against the family, that it, every time I do see young children and in a situation where there's a mom and a dad and young children, I am just rejoicing and I'm so happy. And yet that should be the most normal thing on earth, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think they're heading towards making that illegal to have kids. They want to make you know, it illegal for white people to have children.
Well, wasn't it the French president Sarkozy who said some time ago that they are going to, if people don't do it voluntarily, like the miscegenation, blacks with whites and whites with blacks, then they will force it upon the people. in the French people, you see. So it's out there. It's being openly said that they will not allow white people to have children anymore with white, in white families, you know, or European families.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's really gotten to a real, it's unbelievable space. We see now that, you know, and I would also apply the feminism and how feminism, you can also unravel the civil rights movement for black people too. The civil rights movement has been a tragedy for black people.
I mean,
it has not helped black people. If you go back and look at the family structure, around the 50s, black people were in a much, I mean, look at what has happened now with the cultural, cultural appropriation of the Jew putting gangster rap onto black communities, and now you have all this gang violence and broken families and hatred of whites and victim mentality. I mean, the Jew really hates black people. You know, the Jews are so unbelievably hateful and bigoted towards black people with their civil rights movement.
You're absolutely right. This is something really important to point out to people. So it's not just, you evil white people, you just don't want to have black, you know, any of this integration or whatever because you're selfish or whatever. No, it has harmed everybody. It has not just harmed white people. It has harmed black people. That's so important to point out. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't do anybody any good to take a victim mentality and keep, there's black people that Morgan Freeman's pointed this out, you know, stop complaining about racism. Who's the other, Jesse Lee Peterson, you know, he gets interviewed by a Jew who's trying to maneuver him into taking the black victim mentality. I forget who that Jew was, but there's a nice little clip on BitChute and Jesse Lee Peterson's like, no, I don't buy into all that.
That's
and the
good.
Jew is going crazy because the Jew can't manipulate this black man into taking the victim mentality and being a proxy warrior for the Jew against white people.
And speaking of that, wasn't it the boxer Muhammad Ali that was on air on live television or something and says, no, I want my babies to look like me. Who would not want that? That kind of thing. And the host got really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do I have it right? Yeah, but anyway, I see that you have another caller. Plus,
yes.
You had another clip that you wanted to play, so I'm not sure if you wanted to do that.
Yep. Let me take. It's Jason in Pennsylvania. Jason, welcome.
Hey, William, how are you? Just a quick clarification, because I'd love to hear you more clearly. And I remember someone else called in and pointed out that. Sounds like you're on the speakerphone or in some kind of an echoey chamber.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to have to fix that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved to a different room. There's echo in the room. So I'm going to have to. I was trying this out and seeing how this would work. So I guess it doesn't. So I'm going to have to address it. Thank you for pointing it out. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Jason. We got Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome.
Hey, William. Good to hear you. Monica, good to hear you again. It's been a while. Great to hear you on RBN. Hey, you know, I have a kind of call me an optimist. I actually think we are at a turning point where the so-called Holocaust, which I like to call the hoaxacost, is crumbling. Okay, so the founding myth of the American Empire is the Holocaust narrative. You know, it's this whole story, and America sort of created this empire. It's a Jewish empire, and it created it based on this false foundation. So the reason I'm positive is because it's hard for people to ignore the fact that the American empire is literally collapsing by the minute. This week, earlier this week, we see the BRICS countries uniting. I mean, Russia, China, Iran, and now Egypt and Saudi Arabia, all the countries that have been sort of victimized by the Jewish British American empire for so many years are literally uniting economically, but politically too, even in Africa. So what I'm saying is that that's the proof that this Holocaust narrative is going to collapse, is collapsing too, because once people, you know, the sign that people are not going to put up with this false story, which is what it is the fact that the empire that was built on that false story is collapsing. What do you think?
Well, absolutely collapsing, and they're continuing to try to keep bolstering it up. They send Victoria Nuland, the Jewish princess, over to Niger, which had a coup against this Jewish approved leader, and they overthrew it. Of course, Victoria Nuland gets deployed to go over and figure out how to coup that situation back into Jewish favor. Let me kick it to Monica.
I think you're right that this narrative is collapsing, and it is the house of cards that when it comes tumbling down, I think that then the whole Jewish question, the whole Jewish problem, the whole, you know, Jewish, oh, forever we're the persecuted victim, but yet they are the opposite. They are the ones doing the persecuting and doing the instigation of all the wars and whatnot. That comes to light because really that the Holocaust, what you're saying, that it's what the American empire is structured on. I would say that the world is structured on this Holocaust lie in many senses, you know, and why are they going so fanatically crazy about more Holocaust museums and more mandatory Holocaust education in the schools and whatnot? And I like, you know, hoax-a-cost or holo-hoax, whichever way you want to put it. Yeah, I mean, why are they getting so fanatical about doing more of that? The funniest thing is some of the people in my hometown of Jasper, when I did that little video, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, some well-meaning friend said, Monica, why are you concerning yourself with something that happened so long ago? We have more pressing problems now. But then I would say, well, why are they persecuting people for questioning it or doubting it or if it's so irrelevant? You see, so these two positions don't match up. It's extremely relevant. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're about at the end of the show, so let's wrap it up there, Joe.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to mention, because I always mention Dr. E. Michael Jones' book, The Holocaust Narrative, is coming out in a couple of weeks. I think that's going to be a game changer. You know, the thing is, once the facts are coming out that it's a hoax, then they try to ban people talking about it. They're desperate, and I'm hopeful because they're becoming increasingly frantic.
Yes, thank you. Gotcha. So, Monica, thank you so much. Have you back soon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Sorry to cut you off, Joe. All right, everybody, have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.